It's my privilege to be here for the Gospel meeting. Bless His Word that we're about to read to your heart this evening. Now, I'd like to read one verse from the Bible, please. It's in the book of Romans and in chapter 10. If you have a Bible and want to follow the reading, it's just a short reading, one verse only. Romans chapter 10, please. And reading down at verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. God says in His Word, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We'll read that again. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that is a reading tonight from the Holy Scriptures, and we look to God for His rich blessing upon it. You know, when God says a thing once, we His creatures should listen. After all, the God of eternity, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one that holds our very breath in His hand. And whether we like to admit it or not, we as individuals, we live and we move and we have our being in God. God is in control and God is the God of our life. And when God speaks, for instance, we have His revelation, we have His Word, we have His way of salvation in the book that we've read from Genesis to Revelation. When God says something once, we would be wise to take note. But the promise that we have read this evening from Romans 10 and verse 13 is actually repeated on three occasions in the Bible. God gives this promise that whosoever, the individual, the male or female, the rich or poor person, the old or young person, the individual that calls sincerely on the name of the Lord for salvation, God says that person will be saved. And that is a promise that God, if you like, has underlined on three occasions. I think we would do well to pay attention to it tonight. You see, on three occasions, for instance, in the Old Testament book of Joel, in chapter 2 and verse 30, God says this: "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered," shall be saved. Being delivered is the same as being saved. That's promise number one. And then He repeats that promise as you come into the New Testament part of the Bible. You read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And then you come to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And there's a man called Peter. And he's standing up just a few weeks after the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stands up in Jerusalem in the very place where His Lord was crucified. And he addresses crowds of thousands. And he says to them, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here's the promise again. And by the way, 3,000 people did exactly that on that occasion. Peter preached. He pointed out that 6 weeks earlier, they had taken the Prince of Life, the Lord of Life and Glory, the Lord Jesus, and they had crucified Him, but He rose again the third day, and He's a living Saviour, and whosoever calls on Him shall be saved. 3,000 people did just that very day. You come to where we've read from, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and it's not Peter now, but it's another preacher called Paul. And he says to the Romans, he's writing to Christians at Rome, and what he wrote, inspired of God, of course, is relevant and bang up to date for us in 2016. It still holds good, this promise. God says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a promise. You know, I want to encourage you all tonight, because when God makes a promise, He's good for that promise. He holds good. You see, we might make a promise and fully intend to keep that promise, but for weakness or illness or forgetfulness, we don't keep the promise. It's nothing malicious. I hope we don't go out our way to fail and not keep our promises. God's not like that. You see, the Bible makes it clear that the God we're dealing with, the God of the Bible, he cannot sin. And he cannot lie. And he's trustworthy and dependable. And God's word is truth. So when God says a thing, we can take it to the bank. We can rely upon it. So God's speaking to us tonight, and he says, you as an individual, you need to come to this place to understand you need to be saved. You need to be rescued from the danger that you're in. You need to be taken from the road that you're travelling, and you need to avoid the destination at the end of that road, which is hell in the lake of fire. You need to avoid the judgment of God against your sins. If you die in your sins, you'll not be in heaven, but you'll be lost in the eternal burnings forever. So you need to be saved. That's what it means. Rescued from danger. Delivered. And three times over, God says, this is how you do it. You call. You sincerely call upon the name of the Lord. You understand only Christ can reach and rescue you. You understand there's no salvation apart from the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come from your sins to the Lord Jesus and cry for mercy and cry for salvation, he will save you, because he's never turned a sincere caller away. Now, the big question for you to answer in your heart tonight is this: have I ever made that vital call? Have you ever got alone with God? And I'm not saying it has to be an audible voice, that you don't have to use your vocal cords. It might be a silent cry from the heart, because God hears and God knows and God understands. The important thing is this: you get alone with God and you see the situation that you're in. You see the desperate need that your heart has because you're a sinner. And you turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation, and you call upon him. You say, like millions have said before, Lord, save me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, remember me. And you know, the interesting thing about this verse and its different, the different promises of God, when he uses this verse, there's a different emphasis every time you read this verse. For instance, when God gives this promise in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, he's really dealing with a nation called Israel. If you are familiar with the Bible at all, you'll understand that the Old Testament part of the Bible is mostly about how God is dealing with one nation. He's generally always dealing with the world. He is a God before whom all nations must give account and all individuals must bow. But he, for a special, special privilege, gave this nation of Israel the luxury of his company, his presence. Now, sadly, by and large, when you read through the Old Testament, Israel were rebellious. The nation of Israel turned away from God, and ultimately, they rejected their Messiah. They rejected the Son of God. But in Joel chapter 2, God is still coming out in mercy. God is still warning this little nation that if they repent, if they turn away from their sin, if they turn away from their rebellious, hard heart and open up their voice and turn to God and call upon him, God says, I will deliver you. I'll deliver you out of your sin. I'll deliver you out of your rebellion. I will save you. I will deliver you. And you know, in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, as we examine this promise, the emphasis is very much on the importance of being saved, the importance of being delivered. You see, before we will ever be saved, before we will ever call on the name of the Lord, we have to understand why we need to call, why we need to be saved. You see, you know that tonight in the gospel meeting, I'm not speaking about physical danger. I'm not speaking about being saved from drowning or saved from a burning house. I'm speaking about the salvation that God has provided in the person of his Son to the whole wide world. A world full of sinners. Sinners by nature and by practice. You see, as God looks down from heaven and he looks into all of our hearts, he sees wickedness. He sees rebellion. He sees that we have all sinned and come short of his glory. He sees that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And the very best that we can do, in God's sight, filthy rags. And it's a very unflattering, unpalatable picture that God paints for us in his word. You read the book of Romans chapter 3, where we've read from tonight. You read, for example, the words of Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 59. God says to us, your iniquities, your shortcomings, your sins have separated between me and you. And his face is hidden from us because he is holy. He is a sin-hating God, pure, holy, undefiled. And he must punish sin. He cannot let sin go on unpunished. He cannot sweep sin under the carpet. He will not allow sin into his holy presence in heaven. There will be no sin there. And rather than judging us because of our rebellion, because remember, we have followed in a pathway that started out when Adam, the first man that God created, turned his back on God, raised his fist in rebellion, said, I know the way you want me to go, God, but I'll go my own way, I'll do my own thing. And as by one man, sin entered into the world. One man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, and so death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. And the reason we die, physically and spiritually, is because of a thing called sin. That three-letter word that is such a big problem. And we've all got it. But you know what God did? God entered into the arena of human sin and suffering in the person of his Son. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is what God did. After mankind had sinned, after sin had been passed along the line, generation after generation, and let's be fair, we say we have no sin, we make God a liar, and God cannot lie. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Each and every one of us know the potential of our hearts. Each and every one of us know that if our sins was written on this wall, and the wall certainly wouldn't be big enough for my sins, but if my sins were written on this wall, I could never come back here again. I'd be so embarrassed. All my thoughts, all my actions, all my words, if they were on the wall, I could never come back. And the only comfort, human comfort we take is, well, nobody knows, but God knows. God knows. God knows. And God sent his only begotten Son into the world. The only one who does not possess a sinful nature. The only one who has ever lived on this earth that we stand on tonight, who never thought a wrong thought, who never spoke a wrong word, who never practiced an evil deed, who never took a wrong footstep, who always did what God wanted him to do, who always spoke the word of God. And God sent his Son to Calvary's cross, and in the person of his Son, God poured out all his hatred and all his judgment against sin. And his Son became answerable. His Son died. His Son shed his blood. His Son put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And through his Son, there has been a way opened up into God's presence, and salvation from sin, being rescued from danger, is available only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope you'll understand, as you think of the consequences of sin against God, This is a vitally important call. To be saved, to be delivered is all important. And I ask the question tonight, as you think of this promise, have you ever made that vital call? Have you ever sincerely, understanding the gravity and the desperate situation of being in your sins is, and how that if you continue and die in your sins without God's salvation, without calling on the name of the Lord, you'll be lost in hell and ultimately in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And you need to be saved out of that. You need to be saved not only from the penalty of your sins, but the very power. It's a liberating thing being saved. No longer dominated by the devil. No longer in your sins, but in Christ. So yes, salvation saves you out of the penal consequences of your sins, but it also saves you out of the awful bondage of sin. The Lord Jesus said himself in John chapter 8, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And the Lord Jesus can set you free tonight. He can save you. So in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. Very much the emphasis is the warning from God. You need to be delivered. You need to be saved. If you continue in your sins, you're heading for the blackness of darkness and a lost eternity forever, without hope, without God, without salvation, without end. But you come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. I love this passage because you get the time frame in your mind. That never to be forgotten crucifixion day. When at 9 o'clock in the morning, the Son of God willingly, voluntarily went to the place which is called Calvary and gave himself for our sins, died our death, paid our debt. That day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours later, he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." He'd exhausted the judgment of God. He'd endured the cross. He'd put away sin. He'd finished the work God gave him to do. He voluntarily went into death at the age of 33 and a half. 3 days later, he rose again out from among the dead. And before he went back to heaven 40 days after that, before he went back to his Father in glory, he said to his own disciples, like Peter and James and John and Andrew and Thomas, etc. He says to his disciples, he says, "Listen, I'm going back to my Father, but I want you to stay on earth. And I will come back for you in the future. But before I come back for you to take you home to heaven, and every Christian, every believer in me I'll take home to heaven, I want you to preach the gospel, preach the good news, tell them that I died for the ungodly, but I've risen again, and I'm a living saviour. Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And you know, the disciples did exactly that. There's a great blessing when we do what God tells us to do. And just 6 weeks after the awful events in Jerusalem at Calvary, Peter and the disciples with him stood up and they looked straight in the eye. Thousands of people that day at Jerusalem. Soldiers that had crucified Christ. Religious leaders that had hated the Lord Jesus without a cause. And he looks into the faces of countless multitudes and he tells them, "Listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 3,000 people did exactly that day. And I think the emphasis in Acts chapter 2 is all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Only he can save. Only he can reach and rescue sinners. Only he can provide salvation for guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And you know, Peter, his preaching doesn't change as you go through the Acts of the Apostles. It's all about what the Lord Jesus can do and has done. And for example, he's preaching again in the same city a few chapters later in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And what's the preaching all about? It's this. He tells anybody who's willing to listen, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." It's all about him. I don't know what you think about Christianity and the preaching of the gospel, But Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about joining the gospel hall. It's not about having your name on some church register. It's not about being baptized. It's not about being christened. It's not about being confirmed. It's not about where you hang your hat on a Sunday. It's nothing to do with man-made religion, which is man's attempt to get right with God. It's all about resting on what God has done in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about him. Now, have you ever got connected to Christ? Have you ever called? You spoke about 3,000 people that did it 2,000 years ago in Acts chapter 2. What about in 2016 in this gospel hall in Leven tonight? Have you ever called? Have you gone through your life this far at a distance from God and at the dark and living as if God is not relevant and Christ is not wanted by you? I would hope tonight you would see the utter and vital importance of calling on the name of the Lord. One thing that comes to mind is this. There's going to come a day when you will have the last opportunity to call upon him. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. While your heart is still beating and there's life, God gives you life. There's hope, because you can turn to God tonight and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved tonight, and you'll have your sins forgiven, and you'll start for heaven this very evening. But we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know what the next hour's going to bring. Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Understand that you can call tonight and call now. Who knows about the future? You may miss it. But can I say very, very carefully, there's no service in hell. You know what I mean? No reception. You think of the age that we live in. Instant access. You can Skype somebody in Panama and feel as if they're next door. Hear people speak about, I've got no service on my phone, there's no service in hell. You think about that for a moment. You die in your sins. You imagine the first second of that enormity dawning on you, I'm in hell. I lived without Christ. I lived without making that call. I never got connected. I never repented, turned away from my sins and embraced the Lord Jesus. I never rested on his finished work. I just kept him at arm's length and lived as if there was no heaven and no hell and lived as if there's no God. And ultimately, I've missed it. 1 second in hell. You cry, but there's no service. There's a man like that in Luke chapter 16. For 2,000 years he has been crying for somebody to bring a wee bit of water to cool his tongue. What an awesome thought that is. No, the great news tonight is the Lord Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners, and he's the saviour that we need, and he's rich unto all them. You look, if your Bible's still open, in verse 12, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I'm glad to tell you the Lord Jesus has never turned a sincere seeker or a sincere caller away. His line is never busy. He's always listening for your call. Wouldn't it be tragic if you just never get round to making that call? There was a day in Peter's life physically, and it's a lovely illustration of what also took place spiritually, but one day Peter, who was a fisherman, and he laboured in his trade as a fisherman in the Sea of Galilee, and he was very well aware of that body of water, but one day he was drowning. You read about it in Matthew 14. He's drowning. And he needs some, well, if you're drowning, if your head's going under the water and you can't save yourself, you need somebody to rescue you. You need somebody to deliver you, you need somebody to save you, to rescue you from danger. Physically, he was drowning. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ was in hand. And what did Peter do? He simply uttered three golden words. He said, "Lord, save me." Nobody else could help him. Nobody else could reach him. But the Lord Jesus physically and actually stretched forth his hand and pulled Peter out of the water and got him back on the boat. He was rescued from danger. What happened to Peter physically in Matthew 14 happened to him spiritually as well. There was a day when Peter confessed his sinfulness. "I am a sinful man." And he called to Christ to save him. Have you ever done that? Well, Paul here in Romans chapter 10, for the third time in the Bible, this great promise is given. And you know, I think the emphasis in Romans 10 is not so much on, yes, you need to be saved in Joel chapter 2. And yes, it's the Lord who reaches and rescues and saves and satisfies in Acts 2. But here it's whosoever. It's the importance of worldwide call going out, promise given to everyone. God loves the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad that God has got no grandchildren. You know what I mean by that? He saves individuals. It's an absolute fallacy to speak about Scotland being a Christian country. Absolute nonsense. You try to tell me that every single person that goes to make up the 5 million of a population in Scotland are Christians that have called upon the name of the Lord? Not at all. You see, God saves individuals. The call goes out to the whosoever, to everyone, but it's only the individual that understands their need and turns away to the Lord Jesus and calls upon the name of the Lord for salvation. It's only that individual that comes into the blessing and benefit of God's salvation. The great thing about this is there's no differences. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not marked by partiality or discrimination. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is a turning away. It's seeing things as God sees them. It's understanding the gravity of your sin. It's turning away from sin, a turnabout, and about turn 180 degrees from your sin to God. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's being truly sorry and repentant about your sin and forsaking that old life and that old sin and turning to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's no differences. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need to call because all have sinned. But you know, this verse presents no difficulties because the difficult part has been done. People have met me that I used to know at school and at work and they said, you know, I wish I had your faith, I wish I had your life, but I couldn't keep it up. It's too hard, too difficult being a Christian. And they've got the wrong end of the stick and they're looking at it from the wrong viewpoint. You see, the work has been done. It's not our doing. It's not our sort of 50-50, if God keeps his part of the bargain, I'll keep my part of the bargain. No, it's resting alone on God's word and God's way of salvation through the work of his son on the cross at Calvary. It's all about him. And that was the hard part. You think of what the Lord Jesus endured on the cross. When he put away sin, when he was made sin, When he became answerable for our sins, he had no sin of his own, and yet he took the guilty sinner's place and suffered in our stead. No difficulties. We've done all the sinning, he did all the suffering. Christ hath also once suffered for sinners, the just for the unjust, that it might bring us to God. Great thing about this promise as well, when we do call on the name of the Lord, there's no doubt, there's no ambiguity, there's no we'll wait and see, hope for the best, hoping against hope, that all this is real. See, the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, the person, the individual, him or her, comes to me, I will in no way wise cast out. He receives sinners. I say again, he has never turned a sincere caller away. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. He's a seeking saviour. What a night this would be if you sought the Lord while he may be found. Called upon him while he's near. You know, a wonderful thing as well, as I close, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives no disappointments. He gives no disappointments, no doubts, no difficulties, no differences, no disappointments. I'm 46 years of age, and come this year, I'll be 30 years a Christian. 30 years a Christian. From my teenage days when I called on the name of the Lord, through decades of mountains and valleys and problems and good times and bad times, he has never, ever let me down. Never let me down. I've never regretted that moment I called. But if you don't call, you will have all eternity forever and ever and ever and ever to regret that you never made that call. That you never made that call. I remember preaching the gospel in Wick, way up in the north of Scotland, a couple of years ago. There was a young woman that came to those meetings. I was with a chap called Paul Colley from Belfast. We were preaching night after night for 3 weeks. This lady came almost every night, and the last night she wouldn't go home. She just stayed, wanted to speak. And in her own words, she said, I'm just not connected to God. I'm at a distance, she says. I'm not connected, and I want to be connected. Please, how can I be connected to God? For the next hour or so, we tried to answer her questions and show her. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ said to a man called Thomas, who wasn't on the same page, who wasn't following the gospel that had been preached to him, he says, how can I know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. He's the way to God. That's how you get connected with God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the truth. He's the personification of truth. Lord Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to manifest and represent God in all his love and all his divine attributes. I am the life. You have life. If you have me, you have life. He that hath the Son hath life. After about an hour, she made a decision. She says, I need to think about this. She went from wanting to get connected and wanting to get right with God and wanting to come from darkness to distance to nearness, and from darkness to light, and from damnation to salvation, and from sin to salvation. She wanted the Saviour. But then she thought, my boyfriend, he'll not be too happy about this when I go home. He's an atheist. That is what made her, if you like, put the phone down that night. And tragically, she didn't make that call. And we've lost contact with her. No longer lives in Wick. I think she's back home down in Hull, in England. Her romance didn't last very long. I finished up with him the following month. But that night, she weighed it up. She wanted her boyfriend. more than she wanted Christ, and she didn't make that call. For whatever reason you're not making that call tonight, I would ask you to seriously, sincerely, weigh up tonight. Because what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and then lose your own soul? If you don't make that call, I can only imagine the horror of your soul for all eternity. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for this promise that we have listened to tonight from thy word. We thank thee that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we thank thee for everyone presently in this room who has done that, who has exactly called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And we pray thy rich blessing on those who are still holding out, still keeping the Lord Jesus at arm's length and neglecting thy great salvation. We pray this night might be a night of salvation as we ask thy blessing as we part in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.